Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
One of the hottest teams in the Big Ten. Blip in Columbus aside, University of Maryland, Bob Hattie, Vizcarrado, Nolan McGraw, the side of the glass, here to talk about the win yesterday. The game at Nebraska, I guess, got trap game written all over it Thursday night, and everything going on with Kevin Willard's program from InsideMDSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show Jeff Berman. Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, Bob and Vinny, how you guys doing?
Good. Doing all right. And let's start with this one first, the officiating. And I got no problem ragging on refs or umpires. I don't apologize for it. They can impact the outcome of a game. But how in the bleep do you miss two blatant kick balls happening, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, on back-to-back possessions? The one kick ball, the guy looked like Bruce Lee, Roundhouse, and Chuck Norris in Game of Death or whatever movie that was. How does that get missed when you have three guys on the court and none of them see it? When everyone else, the other 5 bazillion people, but those three don't.
I don't know. It really feels like the officiating has gotten worse the past year or two. I don't know if maybe it's they're struggling to keep up with the increased athleticism of the players or what. I also was surprised that the elbow to Jordan Geronimo wasn't called a flagrant foul upon review, but it should have at least been an offensive foul in the first place. And then it, aside from costing you, you know, one of your better reserves with his tooth, you know, bouncing around on the floor, you also pick up a foul on the ensuing offensive rebound because that one wasn't called. So you're not alone. I hear a lot of people and a lot of fans criticizing the officiating this year a little more than usual even.
And on top of it, Geronimo was playing his ass off. But anyway, speaking of playing their ass off, Derek Queen, you kind of knew. We were talking, me and Nolan, about this a couple segments ago, Jeff. NBA scouts plentiful because of Bailey and Harper and Queen himself. And he was exhibiting a little bit of everything. Little Magic Johnson, 6'10", bringing the ball up the floor, turnaround jump shots, follow dunks, hit 11 of his 13 foul shots after struggling there against Ohio State. So you knew it was going to maybe happen, but given the struggles of Julian Reese, how big was it that it did happen?
Yeah, they had to have it because of that. You know, Juju's played so well lately. That was his first kind of dud in quite a while. He's been a double-double machine, whereas Queen has had struggled a little bit during the past, you know, month or so. But obviously, you know, he's fully motivated yesterday with all those NBA scouts there. Clearly was the best player on the floor, you know, against a Rutgers team that has those two freshmen you mentioned who are both almost sure to be lotto picks, if not top five picks. So, you know, it's just another step toward the very likely inevitable announcement that he'll be leaving for the NBA after this year.
Jeff Berman, InsideMDSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. The Seldon Miguel dilemma. We were here Friday, and I was not real happy with his performance against Ohio State, and I'm sure Kevin Willard wasn't as well. But yesterday, for the most part, especially in the first half, early second half, he was on fire. So how do Maryland fans reconcile the good and the bad that comes with Seldon Miguel each and every game here?
Yeah, you really don't know which guy you're going to get. I think that's partially just because, you know, so much of his value is as a shooter. He's not a lockdown defender necessarily. He's not a guy who's going to set up a lot of teammates for baskets and things like that. So his value comes as a shooter. If he's shooting it well, you know, obviously, as we've seen, when he's shot it well, they've been really hard to beat. He was 5 of 8 yesterday. When he struggles from outside, though, he's not bringing a ton of value. And then the catch there is that you don't have necessarily anybody off the bench to replace him with who's going to be able to score. The bench still has not, in all of their games against Big Ten and Power Conference teams this season, the Big Ten still has, or excuse me, Maryland's bench still has not outscored the opposing bench one time, which is a pretty amazing stat, you know, and the margin is wild. I haven't tabulated it recently, but it's somewhere in the 20-something to 7 or 8 point a game range. So long story short, you're going to have to live and die with him and hope, you know, he's the kind of guy who, if he gets hot in March, that can help you go on a run.
Now, Jeff, we look at Malachi Palmer, got minutes yesterday, the freshman, and out of necessity. Is there still hope that he's going to be a contributor moving forward? Because it, by all accounts, he played very well in practice. They certainly like his potential. I guess it's a de facto redshirt year. But is Palmer a guy that they feel moving forward could be an asset to the team?
Yeah, it's funny you ask, Bob. I actually had a few conversations about him a couple of days ago. First point being that Maryland does view him as a guy who could be a starter next year. Kevin Willard's still really high on him. And then on his side of the equation, I was told that he loves it there. You know, these days, as soon as any player or freshman doesn't play, we all assume they're going to transfer because a lot of times they do now. And so some people, you know, there's a little bit of speculation there. But as from what I'm told, he loves it at Maryland. He likes that Willard is hard on him. And he's looking forward to trying to become, you know, a major rotational guy next year.
Last two games, free throw shooting, not ideal. What's the concern level with this right now heading into Nebraska?
Well, Willard said he was a little bit concerned about it after the game yesterday. You know, it seems a little bit maybe just one of those fluky couple game stretches because they have been a pretty good free throw shooting team, but, you know, it really cost them at Ohio State, obviously. Queen was 7 of 13 in that game. If he makes a few of those, they win. Shot it really poorly against Ohio State. But, you know, for right now, I'd probably just chalk it up as one of those aberrations that's going to happen in a long season.
Hey, Jeff, how important, you know, for the turf, for a victory like at Nebraska, at Penn State, and at Michigan, the three road games, how big?
Yeah, I mean, the Nebraska one is sneaky, Vinny. They are, you know, pretty solid. They beat Ohio State pretty handily in the second half yesterday. Tough at home. You know, they did have a really bad stretch after their hot start where I think they lost 4 or 5 games in a row. But that'll be, I would assume, probably just about a coin flip with the odds. You know, they have Penn State left. I think you mentioned that's been a house of horrors for them. I mean, they've lost there almost, I don't know how many years in a row now. But, you know, this is a team that hasn't really, other than that little 2-game road trip sweep earlier, they haven't really shown the ability to consistently win away from home. So that's going to be something, obviously, you're going to have to do if you're going to try to sneak into the race or at least get one of those top 4 spots that comes with a double bye in the Big Ten tournament.
Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Your confidence level on Jacoby Gillespie right now is what, Jeff, heading into the throes of the second half of the season? Because Harper had him all discombobulated, and Thornton, that was a mismatch a couple of nights
ago.
Yeah,
I think he's at this point a guy, you know, he's still, when you look at some of the analytics sites, you know, there's a site, Evan Maya, that has player offensive ratings, and I think he's 13th in the country right now in offensive efficiency. So even with the handful of poor games he's had this season, he's still been elite offensively. I think size gives him some trouble a lot of times. He's not the tallest guy, so there's been a few games. And then Ohio State had a guard who was quick and strong who kept him in check. But, you know, 3 out of 4 games, he's going to be, you know, that all-conference kind of player that we've seen most of the season. And for a guy who's moving up from Belmont to the Big Ten, you know, if you maintain his productivity, his efficiency is still pretty impressive.
Jeff Ehrman, what's happening at InsideMDSports.com here on this Monday?
All kinds of basketball, football coverage. We've got recruiting news. So if you like the Terps, come check us out.
Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
There's Jeff Ehrman, everybody. We'll come back. It's the whip around what happened in the world of sports over the weekend. And historically, we'll get into some of that, and we'll talk some Orioles. Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. 2 days away for pitchers and catchers. Orioles expected to be one of the best teams in the American League, and rightfully so. Maybe not World Series champions, PT, but hey, you never know. That's why...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3, plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They play the games.
Vinny and Haney's whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. The end of a football season Monday. Actually, the game's played, actually. And now we're into the offseason, which is always fun, filled with drama. You got free agency starts in March. You got the draft coming up. Couple of months. It's like watch, rinse, repeat. It never really ends. But there is this lull, and there's the post-Super Bowl hangover that fans have, obviously. Philadelphia beating Kansas City doesn't generate a lot of interest among the fan base here, because a lot of local fans, as soon as the Ravens season's done, they're done. Call me in August. But here we are. getting you ready for off season. Got baseball season starting in a matter of weeks. Got March Madness right around the corner, so there's plenty to get into. Like this, Maryland beat Rutgers, as we said, 90-81. Derek Queen, 29 points, 15 boards, 5 assists. Rodney Rice had 19. Sal Miguel had 17. Julian Reese fouled out. Not a strong performance for him, but it is what it is. So Maryland does battle through, minus a guy who's been their second best player for the majority of the season. But something we did talk about with Jeff Ehrman, and we'll talk about tomorrow with Kevin Willard, 22 of 34 from the foul line. That's two games in a row in which they have struggled from the arc. They'll be at Nebraska on Thursday night. Terps now 18-6, 8-5 in the league. Nebraska beat Ohio State yesterday, 79-71. So they're 16-8, 6-7. Big game for them. Trying to build on their NCAA tournament resume. Maryland did beat them back in January, 69-66 at the Xfinity Center. Rankings come out later today. I'm expecting Maryland's still going to be in the top 25. If not, just kind of holding where they are right now, because not a lot of zaniness took place. On top of that, pitchers and catchers, as we said, we'll talk Orioles, Andy Koska, bottom of the hour, NBA. Rockets beat Toronto 94-87. Dylan Brooks led the way for the Houston Ball Club at 19. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore zone, 11 points, 6 boards and assists, 3 steals. Manuel Quickley for Toronto, 20 points, 8 boards, 3 assists there. Other NBA news, Anthony Davis, after a monster 2.5 quarters for Dallas's debut, adductor strain, out multiple weeks. And Luka Doncic's expected to make his debut tonight for the LA Lakers against the Utah Jazz. And we talked last week with Sean Devaney from Heavy.com, and I don't think it's unfair to say, if Davis stayed healthy, that the short-term winner would be Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But now that he's going to be out long-term, the long-term winner was always going to be the Lakers with Luka, because he's going to replace LeBron as the face of that franchise. Now he's going to help in the immediate as Dallas deals with an injury to a guy who's a brilliant player, but unfortunately this has been a big part of his NBA reality injury.
You know what's going to suck there, Bob, is like if you're the GM from Dallas and Luka goes off tonight, you know, and you're sitting there because your guy's not playing and your fan base is pissed off because he's playing good for the Lakers. And don't they play the Lakers like
twice?
Yeah, coming up soon, I think, one of them. So that's tough when you're the GM, man.
Well, he's already getting heat.
Oh, like, yeah, but I mean,
he's getting death threats over the trade. And what happened Saturday certainly isn't helping the cause there. In the NHL yesterday, down in D.C., the Capitals, right before their long break, taking on the Utah Hockey Club. And unfortunately for the hometown team, didn't go well in the end.
Dylan Strome brings it in. Third shooter. Stopped by Vemelka. And that's it. Game over. And the Utah Hockey Club takes down one of the elites.
Utah HC Plus on the call. 5-4 shootout as Utah edges the Capitals there. Capitals, Tom Wilson had 2 goals for them. They head into this break because of what, the Big Four? Is that what it is?
It's Four Nations.
Four Nations.
Yeah, and it's usually 6 nations because Russia and Belarus, they're still not allowing them in. So it's just 4, and the Caps have nobody that's in it. Now, going back to the game yesterday, how about Utah scores on their first 2 shots of the game? Minute 10 in. I mean, it's 2-0 right off the get-go. And then the Caps were down 3-2. I thought that Ovi had 3 assists. That's the hardest I've seen Ovi play in a long time for the whole game. I thought Ovi, he was really good. Played hard, played fast, was very active in the game. Maybe it's because he's got 10 days off now. I don't know, you know, but he was really good. Yeah, he didn't get any goals, but he had 3 assists. And like you said, Tom Wilson had 2 goals and over 20 now for the season. So Willie's having a real good season too, and he's pissed off that he didn't get chosen by Canada to play in the Four Nations.
So the Caps, like everyone else, heads into this break with Washington not back on the ice till this 22nd of February against Pittsburgh. 36-11-8, 80 points, second only to Winnipeg in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, they're 10 points up in the Metro to second place. I mean, like, the playoffs teams are almost 20 points behind them. I mean, it's pretty amazing what the Caps are doing. And Logan Thompson was the goalie again yesterday, and that's one of the biggest reasons why the Caps are where they are. And you know what the other thing about the Caps is? They score more goals in the third period than any team in the league. So, I mean, they are very good in the third period.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. Whip around here on this Monday, this day in sports history. Just a couple things for you. February the 10th, Maryland basketball, 1988, down at Little John. Turf beat Clemson, Eldon Campbell, Dale Davis, 70-67. Derek Lewis, 16 points, 11 rebounds. Tony Massenburg had 14. Teon McCoy, Rudy Archer, Keith Gatlin, who coached Aaron Wiggins in high school, all had 10 for Bob Wade's Turtles there. 1999, down in Raleigh, North Carolina, 7th-ranked Maryland beat NC State 63-50. Terrence Morris had 17 and 16. Laurent Proppet had 10. Abena Kesey got hurt in practice day before that, tore his Achilles, which short-term hurt that team, but long-term helped them because Lonnie Baxter, as a freshman, was thrown in to the starting role, but Abena Kesey blew his Achilles, so Maryland lost their starting center at this date 26 years ago. But 2002, Chapel Hill, 3rd-ranked Maryland, beat North Carolina, eventual national champ, Terps that is, 92-77. Juan Dixon, Baltimore, had 19. Lonnie Baxter, now a senior, had 16 points, along with Byron Mouton, as Maryland improved to 19-3 on the year, 9-1. In the ACC, they would finish that regular season 15-1, but lost to NC State in the ACC tournament. But they won the national title. I guess that's all that matters. When we come back, we'll talk about the Orioles. They've been in the playoffs 2 years in a row, haven't won a playoff game. And now coming up on 11 years, they've lost 10 straight playoff games. By the way, how do they turn that around? Andy Koska is going to be joining us from the Baltimore Banner. Funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. And then news from the Nest. Talk about the Ravens trying to get over this playoff hump. We know they're going to be good. They're already one of the favorites to get to the Super Bowl next year. But we've danced this dance many times before. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show. It's been a couple of months. But Andy Koska, Andy, what's happening? I hope your Super Bowl went well. If you like the Eagles or you hated the Chiefs or you want some dough, how's all that?
Thanks for having me.
All right. This Dylan Cease trade stuff we saw over the weekend, where the Padres appear to be willing to move him as he enters the last year of his contract, but inquired about Westberg and Mayo, Basayo et al. I guess, obviously, the Orioles declined those overtures if, in fact, they are true. So I guess the question is, any truth? Because where there's smoke, there's fire, that the Padres and the Orioles are interested in Cease, but maybe not at an expensive price for a guy that would be a free agent after the season.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, Rakubako from Masson is generally correct. So, you know, I imagine you reported correctly that Baltimore was not interested in moving Westberg, Mayo, and Basayo, you know, big prospect slash a guy that has, you know, already made an all-star team. So not the, you know, the projectability for those three guys in particular, compared to 1 year of Dylan Cease, it's not a very attractive offer. And I think Baltimore is in a position where they feel like, okay, if they add an ace like Dylan Cease, how much does that add, you know, 2 wins, 3 wins in the regular season? Is that really enough to get rid of somebody that could be a cornerstone player like Jordan Westberg or Kobe Mayo? Obviously, Basayo hasn't reached the majors yet, but is expected to be one of those cornerstone players at some point. So there's definitely a balance that has to be made here. There doesn't seem to be a tremendous amount of panic with Mike Elias. He is willing to wait if a better deal comes around. I wouldn't be shocked if a trade materializes, but at the same time, I do believe that Mike Elias is pretty happy with the depths they have in the starting rotation. He believes in the bullpen. So if this is the roster going into opening day, I think it'll be pretty good with that, and then make deals at the trade deadline as needed.
Now, when you don't have Corbin Burns in your rotation, you're lesser certainly at the top end because you don't have Burns matching Cole, for instance, or a Scooble, et cetera, in that level. But there is some depth here. But you mentioned the bullpen, Andy, on paper, with the expected return of Bautista, of course, down in Florida, and hopefully throughout the regular season, is the bullpen better on paper today than it was in October, or no, in your opinion?
No, absolutely. This bullpen is going to be good, even if it takes 2 months for Felix Bautista to become Felix Bautista again. You have to imagine there's going to be a ramp-up period for Bautista. He didn't pitch at all last year, coming off Tommy John. Interesting to see exactly what the velocity looks like immediately, things of that nature. I doubt he will be doing any six out saves anytime soon, just to kind of keep his arm and health overall, healthy. But I do feel like what we saw from Gregory Soto the last 20 games, I think if you look at, the trade deadline acquisitions, Sir Anthony Dominguez and Gregory Soto, I'll talk about Soto first, is I think they could have big years. And the first three outings for Gregory Soto were pretty disastrous for the Orioles. And I think that soured a lot of fans pretty immediately, and they didn't necessarily notice what he did the last 20 outings with a 1.10 ERA over the last 20. And Sir Anthony Dominguez, again, he's a little bit of a fly ball pitcher now, which is a little dangerous, and his sinker, he needs to bury it more in the zone. But overall, he was really good besides, an outing here or there. So I do think those two, with a full offseason with Orioles instruction, with a full spring training of Orioles instruction, I think those two are going to be very, solid bullpen pieces. Plus you have Kittredge, a free agent addition who has been good for multiple seasons now. And, you maintain a Yennier Cano, who took a little bit of a step back last year, but you still expect to be a pretty high end arm. So overall, I think the bullpen is going to be great. Definitely better than it was last year. Last year, the relievers had their combined ERA as a relief core was 23rd in the majors. Expect that to be pretty easily top half this year, just with who they've added and also with Bautista coming back, which you can never, imagine it to be instantaneous, but at some point when things matter most, you expect him to be at his best.
Andy Koska, Baltimore Banner, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking Orioles pitchers and catchers coming up a couple of days. Elias on Thursday. First spring training game is 12 days from today, February the 22nd. Outfield versatility. Look, you've lost Tony Taters and the 44 bombs and the diving catches and the big arm, etc. But, the ultimate zone ratings and the stats say that, he's been kind of a liability there with the glove. How much better are they defensively? And how do you try to replace the offensive production that he had as a one-man gang there?
Yeah, it's interesting, defensively. Obviously, he took strides, improvement last year, but still was league average at best. Was not a phenomenal fielder, made some flashy plays. Some of that because he was slower getting to the ball than other players would have been. But definitely, it's going to be difficult replacing a guy that hits 44 homers, can play pretty much every day, power from both sides of the plate. What Baltimore did was, obviously they get Tyler O'Neill. Not a perfect like-for-like replacement. He's very, incredible at hitting left-handed pitching. He's not as adept at hitting right-handed pitching. So there would be a little bit of a step back there. But you feel like Couser, year two, is going to be a steady presence. Mullins wasn't phenomenal last year, but defensively was still, as excellent as he usually is. And maybe it's a combination of O'Neill and Kerstad, or maybe Kerstad is more of a DH fourth outfielder, or maybe it's not even Kerstad and there's Dylan Carlson and Lurano, so there's a bunch of different options here. Baltimore added a couple guys that can play those corner outfield positions, have pretty good defensive capabilities. So defensively, I think it's going to be a good group. Definitely a step back, you'd imagine, in individual offensive success. But I think Baltimore believes they can replace Santander in the aggregate a little bit. And that's with, you know, if maybe it's Tyler O'Neill, you know, demolishing left-handed pitching and sometimes hitting against righties. And then you have, you know, Heston Kjerstad against right-handed pitching. Because he can demolish right-handed pitching. So yeah, I'm interested to see exactly how they platoon it. I imagine a lot of platoon matchups, which fans might not love the sound of, but it could work. And it's not going to be a, you know, immediate success, I imagine. There's going to be learning curves for, you know, some of the young players moving up, be it Cody Mayo in the infield or Jackson Holliday in the infield, second full year, Heston Kjerstad in the outfield. But they believe that, and they kind of have to, that if you're going to build a strong farm system, eventually they're going to translate to the majors, and got to give them time to do that.
Andy, what are you expecting when you get down there, like from Mountcastle? What are you expecting to see from Mountie? And you think frame of mind will be a lot better because the wall's going to be in?
Yeah, you know, I kind of thought, I wondered for most of the offseason, as many people did, if Mountcastle was going to be, you know, a trade candidate. But with that left field wall coming in, I feel like, you know, he could have a big year at Camden Yards again. And part of it is, obviously, he had 11 home runs stolen, you know, I suppose you could say, by that deep left field wall, not just last year, but since the wall moved in 22, I think it was. There's a little bit of peace of mind in knowing that, okay, I don't need to, you know, have my absolute A++ swing to get it out to left field at Camden Yards. I mean, maybe he relaxes a little bit and there's more singles that drop in because he's making better contact and he's not going to swing, you know, with his head flying out of, you know, away from the ball. You know, there could be a trickle down effect that, you know, Mountcastle sees massive improvement because of, you know, just the mental side, the fact that you don't have to be, you know, throttling a ball at 450 feet to get over that fence. So I do expect, you know, probably big year from Mountcastle. A combination of him and O'Hearn is pretty stable at first base. You feel good about that. There's more question marks at third and second, kind of how those two positions shape out in the infield, because you know that shortstop is going to be held down as long as there's no injury or anything for Gunnar Henderson. You have to like, you know, anytime you can write Gunnar Henderson in the lineup card 160 times, you feel pretty good. But we'll see. I mean, a full year of Jordan Westberg at one of those two positions should be great. And can Jackson Holliday take the next step? Those are the two kind of big questions. And we'll see how those two positions cement themselves.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jackson Holliday will be better this year than he was last year.
That's probably
what a prediction. Andy Koska from the Baltimore Banner. Andy, appreciate the time as always. Have fun down at Sarasota. Tell Mike Elias, take it easy on us with those injury announcements on Thursday.
Absolutely. Thank you.
See it. Andy Koska, everybody. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. We'll take your phone calls as well. News from the desk coming up top of the hour. Philadelphia Eagles, champions of the football world, and earned it every second of it. So congratulations to them. How do the Ravens take that next step? We'll be talking about that a lot over the next few months. And then Bill Bender talks about NFL, put a bow on the season with him. Looks like Kellen Moore is getting the Saints job, and Aaron Rodgers, A-Rod, his tenure in New York is coming to an abrupt halt after one injury-plagued year and one disappointing season as they look to move to a new level of competency here.
Bob, do you think he plays next year?
Well, he had a meeting with the Jets, so I'm assuming he was talking about what's the battle plan moving forward, so I'm guessing he'll want to play. Now we can get into all the offseason. Look, the guy went to Egypt during mandatory minicamp.
Yeah.
I mean, what more do you want from your so-called quarterback leader of the team who basically peaced out and left Saleh there to clean up the mess?
Yeah, where would be a good play? I mean, everybody says the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders are in a rebuild. They need to draft a quarterback probably at 6. You know where a good place would be, Bob, for him? Probably, you know. How about Minnesota?
to mentor McCarthy there?
Yeah, just for a year.
Do a little Favre redo. Oh, man, he'd be full-on Brett Favre then.
Oh, no doubt.
Went from the Jets to the Vikings. Oh,
although they do have Daniel Jones.
Yeah, right? Because Darnold's probably leaving somewhere.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Darnold's gone. You know, he's gonna get paid more than the Vikings could pay him.
All right, let's get out to the phones. We'll talk about that NFL lunch style. If you want to join us for that conversation, more than welcome to do so. But let's go to Towson. It's PT. PT, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey guys, thanks a lot for getting me on the Man, I took a bath. I took a bath last night. And Vinny, if I just were to listen to you, because I don't know how many times I heard you say Philadelphia defense, the defensive line's going to kick their butt, and that's exactly what happened. Mahomes, I thought it came out of that, you know, like an absolute class act because he took the blame. He had that one bad throw across his body. Other than that, it was just the offensive line that was getting him killed, right, Vinny?
They were definitely getting him, and the receivers weren't getting open. Let's say that, too, because Philly's defense was secondary was good, too. So because he was – and then if he did have time, he was holding the ball, and then he was, you know, scrambling, and then he wasn't finding people open. That's why he had to take off and run some. But, yeah, you know, Tooney at the left tackle spot, you know, it was a good story, but that didn't work out well. The right tackle stinks. You know, Caliendo, the left guard, he's bad. And I you know, Creed Humphrey, everybody says, oh, he's a great to me, he's kind of average. Linderbaum's a lot better than him.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But earlier, Bob mentioned the Orioles. I feel compelled to.
World Series or bust, baby.
My deal with the Birds is that, and Andy said it, a massive improvement for Mountcastle. I see Mountcastle possibly improve, or he will improve, but Gunner could still improve. Westberg could improve. Colton could improve. But the upside for a guy like Rodriguez, Heston, Holiday, and Mayo is through the roof, right?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Gunner Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Westberg, three All-Stars last year, they haven't even played their best baseball yet.
Right.
And then Holiday, a year ago at this time, he was the number one prospect in baseball. Number one, not number two, not 12. He was the number one prospect, went down to Norfolk for a couple of weeks, bashed down there. He sucked and struggled at the major league level, made some tweakage to the batting stance when he came back up. But if you think this guy's going to hit a .180 for his career, he'd be the biggest bust as a number one pick of all time. And his bloodlines say that that's absolutely not going to be the case here.
Right. People in the town might not recognize it, but the hardcore people that know the number one prospects, man, they're pretty much, they're going to succeed. And like you said, I mean, he's got the family. I got a batting cage in the freaking living room. But also Mullins and Eflin, right, they're the older guys. You're like, they're 30. They're both in contract years. So that's the one thing I do take, I kind of disagree with Andy on. He said the bullpen might be top half. We have five guys that are borderline, you know, borderline closers, and the last time Felix was healthy, he was, you know, it's clearly the best in baseball, right?
He was a Cy Young level candidate, and look, a lot of dudes in walkers of deals too in that bullpen as well. And if you look at the contract status for this 25 roster, a lot of short-term contracts, a lot of expiring contracts for those wanting the Orioles to spend dough. Maybe next offseason is when old Rubenstein and Elias start writing some blank checks here. But it's a talented team. They're projected to be one of the best teams in the American League. Now we just have to let it all play out. I still think another move's coming before they go to Rogers Center to open the season against the Blue Jays.
And I don't think Rubenstein's going to let us down. I think he's going to be willing to open the checkbook. But my thing, I hate, and I just lost a good bit of money on the freaking Super Bowl because I didn't listen to Vinny. But Vinny, I'm sorry. But when you look at the last Oriole World Series, we won, right? They plug in a guy nobody really knows about, right? An average manager. He takes over for one of the best managers in baseball. So Al DiBelli took over for Weaver. We win the World Series. And Vinny, you lived through the Seifert stuff, right? I mean, you were there, a key part of the 94. But you were a key part of the 94 Super Bowl with Seifert. And Seifert took over for Walsh and won his first ring in 88. So I'm not a, you know, complete dingbat. But
all right, sorry, PT. Look, first of all, Al DiBelli wasn't an average manager. He was manager of the year of the Giants in 78. In the National League, and he was manager of the year multiple times at Rochester. Now, compared to Earl Weaver, most managers are average managers. And they what happened without the belly PT, because we're coming up on the top, they got old. That team got old outside of Kalinetti. Everybody else, Singy, Lowenstein, Renicky, B, they just all got old. Palmer, you know, Flanagan, McGregor. That's what happened to that team. And they didn't reload like this Oriole team has with all of these prospects coming up. I mean, when Sepra took over for Bill Walsh, it was plug and play.
Oh, no doubt. And the only reason that Bill Walsh wanted George Sepra to get the job because he thought George would screw it up. But the players hated Bill Walsh so much that they didn't care who the coach was. They just wanted to show that it wasn't Walsh, because old Walsh was always talking about how it was him that caused him to win the Super Bowl. But George was a good coach that allowed his coaches to coach. When George, you know, when Carolina thought that they were getting a guy that could run everything, kind of saw what happened.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. We got news from the Nats, talks of Ravens. We'll get to a funhouse trip coming up, 12:45. Let's count some dough, because like PT, we all lost a little money. Hopefully we regain it on this post-Super Bowl Monday, and look at more at this Ravens roster ahead of the 2025 offseason. They've got a dude or two at every position. Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about the fact they're probably going to need a new kicker, too.
Yes.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.